Lord, today, in Jesus' name. Praise God. This weekend, I've been ministering. It's all about relationships, and it's really not this weekend. This has been kind of a theme for the last few months as I have had the opportunity to minister. Most of you have heard about the planet and the whole climate change that's going on our planet right now. And because of climate change, there's all kinds of things that are changing. You know, the polar caps are melting, and you know, I don't know what to believe about all that, to be honest with you. But I hear tell that elephants' trunks are going to fall off. It's going to be really bad. While I don't know what to think about climate change, I want to talk about another barometric pressure that we have in our lives. It's why the wind blows in Kingman, is because there's highs and lows and the barometric pressure changes and shifts. And what I want to talk about today is that in our lives, we have a collection of relationships. We have a collection of relationships, whether that's our spouses, our neighbors, our best friends, people we grew up with. And every one of those relationships has an atmosphere or a climate. Every marriage that's sitting here this morning has a climate to it. Today, I'm hoping that it's sunny, clear, and bright. The chances are, if you're sitting here today and the climate of your marriage is clear and sunny, get it on videotape. You'll need that down the road, because sometimes it's not clear and sunny. Sometimes it's windy and the thunderstorms are blowing in the midst of that relationship. And the thing I want you to catch today, I have a very simple thought that I want you to catch. Is that climate dictates the forecast. If I was to tell you about a friendship or about a marriage that was marked by a climate of anger, coldness, bitterness, and hostile exchanges, then you and I could predict with some fairly certain accuracy the future of that relationship or of that marriage and what it's going to be, because the climate of a relationship is going to dictate the forecast of where that's going to go. And the reason I say all of that is simply this, is that we have been talking about God's will for our life. I had a lady visit the service last night, just a visitor, and talking with her after the service, she says, "I have never been to a church that has given us homework." And I don't know really what the interface was there. I said something, but I was thinking about it later as I got home. I thought, God, that is so wrong. I hope that every time you come to church, when you leave here, you got some work to do. Whether that's in your marriage or in your community or in the marketplace of life, hopefully every time that you come, because what my prayer was last night is, God, don't ever let me get up to preach without making this practical. You know, don't let me just get up and spout some spiritual truth that we kind of mentally assimilate right here and go, oh, that was so good, and then go out and not change our lives, not fix nothing, just be the old person we was. Hopefully, every time you leave, there's something that's going to be different in your life. See, because we all, not only do our relationships have a climate, we have our own personal climate. How many of you know a tornado? Every time they walk in the room, the wind's blowing, you know, it's like, oh my God. Or they call you on your cell phone, you look and you go, oh, not now, not now. And you know, they're chaos. I mean, it's just chaos. And that's what they are. There's a climate about their life. And there's a climate about your life. And that climate is going to dictate the forecast of your future. your life, your relationships, your friendships, and what you do. So we've been talking about this subject for a long time. And you go, is he really going to go there again? Is he really going to do this? Is this whole thing that they're going to know that we're his followers by our what? Love one to another. Man, doesn't he have another sermon? I told you no. No. We're going to get this until we get this. Because we got to get this. You know why? Because if life, what did it say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and what? And your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, everything else, all of the rest of the commands, all of the law, all of the prophets hang on these two things. A relationship with God and a relationship with others. So actually what we're really saying is all of life boils down to relationships. Now, here's the problem is that all of us got some relationships that probably need a little climate change. Probably need a little bit of adjustment on the inside of those things. In the business world, they have what they call a 360. If you read, managerial type books, you've already heard of this. This is kind of a survey that has come up in the corporate world. And sometimes they'll do it amongst employees. Sometimes they'll do it just with department heads or managers. And basically, it's a survey. They hand out this survey, the premise of the survey is this. They ask the question, what is it like to work with that person? And they just send out a survey. So they make decisions about department heads, managers, people that, you know, what's it like to work under Bob? Oh, well. And what happens is they collect that information. And usually it's the HR department, the human resources department that puts out these surveys. And then what they do is they sit down and have meetings with their employees or their managers or department heads about this information. Now, right at this point in time, that information is neutral. It's just neutral. It's just information. It's what people think. Now, how you and I act upon that information will determine how it comes to life. If you act and if you view that information as negative, as an affront, as an attack to you, then you'll activate this environment of bad juju. How many have ever been in an environment of bad juju? It's like, I don't know what's going on here, but there's some bad juju in the room, and somebody, something's wrong. I don't know what it is, and you can feel it. Now, it's kind of like if you've ever seen the movie The Lord of the Rings, it's kind of like Frodo when he says, oh, I wish I'd never saw the ring, you know. Some people are, you know, after the survey, I wish I never saw the survey. But if this is really true, which I believe that it is, because we got it from God's word. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your neighbor as yourself, then you've got all the book covered. Oh, wow. Now that's a problem, because now that's practical, and now I got to do an application with that in like my relationships. Oh, God. I know people that have millions of dollars that are not happy. They're not happy. They have stuff. And the influence that they have is bought. The impact, the relationship, most of them are bought. Not all of them. Because I think you can have a lot of money and be healthy. But most people that I know aren't. And they make life about stuff. And you know, usually by the time it gets to me in front of my desk, they're going, you know what? I have stuff, but I'm not happy. I'm in this relationship that is painful. Do you know relationships will either be the most painful thing in your life or the greatest asset that you've ever owned? And as we start going through life, then you realize, you know what? You know what's really important? Is my relationships. That's the most important thing I got. Now, when you come to that, you're going to get a real revelation, because all of a sudden, now you're saying exactly what God's saying. Listen, if you love me, if you have a relationship with me, that's going to affect your relationship with everybody else. And if you get those two things down, you're the richest person on the planet. Because it doesn't matter whether you have all the needs met in the world or you come up $20 short every week. If you've got good friendships, you've got life sewed up. And if you don't have good friendships, I don't care what you got, you're miserable. And see, this is what life is about. And so what we do with this information, if we take this information and view it negative, or if we take this information and view it as an opportunity to learn, to listen, to grow, you'll activate a blessing, not only in your life, but in the lives of the people you work with, the people you live with, the people you live next door to. Because all of a sudden, something about you is now going to change. See, you know what the scary thing about most of us is we can't see our own climate. If you're a tornado, you don't really know you're a tornado. You know, all you know is every time you walk in a room, the papers are flying, and you go, what's the problem in here? And you don't know you're the one who brought it in. Right? Because we don't know what it's like to be on the other side of us. See, we don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like to be married to Howard. I've never been married to Howard. I don't know what it's like to be Howard's kid. I've never been Howard's kid. I don't know what it's like to work for Howard. See, now I view working for me through rose-colored glasses. I'm thinking, God, you got the greatest boss in the world. What's the problem? See, but I don't know that if I don't ask that question. And this weekend is going to be fairly simple, because I'm going to put out a new question to you. I put out an old question to you about a month ago. What would love require that I do in this situation? Okay, if the Bible says that they're going to know that you're my followers by your love one to another, how you treat one another, if they're going to know that by that, then, okay, I guess I'm going to have to start learning how to get this relationship thing down. Do you know that most people are in dysfunctional relationships? Do you know that a lot of marriages are just people that grow old and they're kind of glorified roommates? It's like living in a college dorm with somebody. It's like, oh, that guy's a pig, or, you know, whatever. You know, you wouldn't say that out loud. That's part of the storm. See, because to have good relationships, you know what you got to do? You got to be able to handle conflict resolution. What? Conflict resolution? Yeah. See, because there's not a relationship in the world that's not going to have conflict. If you're in love with somebody, you've got issues. Or they've got issues. It all depends on your climate. And see, and if you don't know how to do conflict resolution, here's what's going to happen. You're going to jump in and out of relationships. If you can't look back in your life and see, go back to some high school friends that you've carried through life with you, then all of a sudden you stop and you realize, like, wait a minute. Where are these lifelong friends? Is that really about them, or is that about you? What's it like to be a friend to you? Are you a good friend? I don't know. I've never been my friend. I guess I'm going to have to go ask my friends if I'm a good friend. Newscast for you. The forecast is going to remain the same in your relationships until the climate changes. Until the climate changes. We all need people who are in touch with reality, who love us. And that's the key. They have to be in touch with reality, and they have to love us. Because if they don't love us, then what you're going to get is you're going to get a bunch of people running around giving the rest of the world a piece of their mind. That's not what it's talking about. I want to read a scripture. And you've, if you've been in church any length of time, you've heard this scripture. This is Genesis 4. It says, "Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, mister?'" Oh, he didn't say mister. I threw that in there. "Why are you angry? Why is your face all down?" Have you ever walked in and saw somebody and you knew they were ticked off? I mean, it's just like, uh-oh, here comes problems. "Why are you angry and why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they're in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord came and said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" Now this is all the way back to Genesis. All the way back to the beginning of stuff. And as you read the story, here's God. God is telling Cain, "Cain, if you don't master your emotions," because he's angry. Why are you angry? "If you don't master your emotions, your emotions are going to master you." I think it's critical that we be aware of our emotions. I think it's critical that we be aware of our emotions. But I also believe that we shouldn't become our emotions. See, I think it's critical that Howard knows when Howard's mad. See, because if I know that I'm mad, I'm grown up now, so I'll shut my mouth, and I'll listen, and I'll walk away. And if I let what they said or did sink in and not respond emotionally, I can usually come back with a halfway intelligent response to the discussion. But if Howard just is mad and doesn't engage grown-upness, then Howard's liable to bite your head off. Because that's what Howard does. You can ask anybody that works for me. Now, the flip side of that is I've had people working for me for a long, long time. Good thing you don't go through lots of employees in life, because it means you gotta engage conflict resolution in your life. See, you know what immaturity does? Immaturity wears your emotions on your shoulder. The beginning of the week, I was in California preaching a friend's funeral. I was at his house. His son's there. Two of his daughters are there. His wife, Norma, is sitting there. And Chad is putting together this video production that we're going to play at the funeral. And all of a sudden, Leslie, This is one of my friend's daughters from his first marriage. Comes storming into the room. And she looks at Norma. And she goes, "This is not fair." And I'm thinking, uh-oh. This can get, families can get crazy quick, man. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at Norma and I'm thinking, oh, because I can tell she's just ready to blow. And I'm sitting there and I looked up at Leslie. I go, "Leslie," I says, "your dad's not here, but I'm here. And I'm your friend. I've known you your whole life." I said, "Now you better stop it right now." She looked at me like, "What?" I go, "This is not a time to be immature." Because you know what she said? She says, "I saw the video. There's only 4 pictures of me, and there's like 12 pictures of Sarah." A little petty, you'd think. You know what the kicker is? Leslie is 30 years old. If it was a 9-year-old or 10-year-old, she's 30 years old. She's got 3 kids. She's been out of the house for 14 years, 13 years. Sarah is 14 years old. She's in the house. She's been there. It would only make sense that there would be more pictures of her. But when you wear immaturity on your shoulders, skin deep, it comes across like that. Here at work, this is what John Poole does. John Poole asked me, he says, "Can I be honest with you?" And that's a code for, "I'm getting ready to hurt your feelings." You know, "What are you going to do? No, tell me some lies? Yeah. Be honest with me. Just give it to me. Just tell me what you're thinking." And I know at that moment that I can't respond. Because at that moment, I'm going to be a little defensive. God's asking Cain, "Why are you mad? What has happened in your life that has got you ticked off? If you just do what's right, it'll be okay." Let me ask you something. Are you aware of this in you? Do you know that you have a climate? Do you know that you bring a climate into every relationship that you have, whether that's a marriage, whether that's a best friend? How many of you got best friends you can't stand to be around? A couple? Okay. Yeah. You know, you love them. You love them and say, "Well, you know, why can't we get together? Because you're too much work, man. I mean, you are like high maintenance friends." Right? But we don't want to tell them that because that'll really be high maintenance. Because people can get a little upset, kind of like what Cain did here when God asked him, you know, "Why are you mad?" This is why marriages struggle. This is why people don't have lifelong relationships. This is why some people can't keep a job more than a month and a half. Because they bring this storm into the workplace. It's like, ah. See, now healthy people that have healthy relationships, they get this. They get conflict resolution. It's like, okay, just stop and breathe. Now, when I asked you to ask the question a few weeks ago, what would love require that I do in this situation? Or what would love require of my response to what's going on here? I've had you come to me. I've had emails, I've had letters, I've had conversations with you. I said, "Man, that's jacked you up because now you got to stop and go just a nanosecond. Okay, wait a minute. What would love do here?" And you realize that if you're going to be the man or be the woman that God wants you to be, that you actually have to slow down and ask that question. Well, now I'm going to give you another question. See, because broken people, they need. Do you know? You're sitting here today. Are you aware of the fact that you might need a climate change in your home, in your marriage? See, that's not going to just happen by you wanting it. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to get in and actually do. Do you know how hard it is? You know how mature people got to be to say, "Can we talk? you said something that hurt me. And I just want you to know that when you do that, that hurts me. Without an explosion, without blowing up, slamming doors, cussing, you know, spinning the tires, and fine. Do you know? I pastor a church, folks. I pastor real people in a real world. And if we're going to be the people that God wants us to be, then we got to do the homework. We got to do the homework. We got to be able to take this thing out into the real world, into our life, into our homes, into our families, into our marriages, into our best friend relationships, and put this to work. See, Cain's response is so human. It's so us. Where's your brother? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Today it'll play out in a relationship like this. Hey, how's your husband? I don't know. Go ask him. I don't know. Go ask her. She's got a mouth full of answers. And it's just that little bite, that little grind that you know that somewhere at home there's a squirrel in the climate and the atmosphere of those relationships. Do you know that emotions can kill a relationship? Your emotions can kill something that's going on in your life. Do you know that about you? This is the homework. It's really simple. It's really simple. If you know that emotions can heal and kill, and the choice to how you respond to whatever's going on in your, whether it's a friendship, a best friend, a spouse, if you know that the choice is yours, that you got to just simply go and do what's right, then you've got to stop and you've got to ask yourself the question, what is it like to be on the other side of me? Because I've never been there. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what it's like to be married to me. Could be a little difficult, maybe, some days. I don't know what it's like to have to work with me. So you know what I have to do? Is I have to do my own 360. I got to do my own survey. I got to go, hey, you got a minute? What's it like to be my friend? God, you're high maintenance, buddy. Wow. I don't know what to say. Some, you know what? Some of us sitting here, we just need to probably go before God and ask God, God, what's it like to be Lord of me? It's work, Howard. It's a lot of work, buddy. See, because I don't know. I've never been on the other side of that. And when you ask that question, let me tell you something. This is what you're going to hear. You're going to hear some encouraging information. Because there's going to be things about your life and about your conduct and who you are that people, man, you shine here. When you walk into the room, it lights up, or, you know, your ability to imagine is so wonderful. Then you're going to hear some information that's going to surprise you. They're going to say something back to you, and you're going to actually, it'll say it in your head. You might even say it out loud sometimes. What? Really? And then you're going to get some information that's probably going to hurt your feelings. Then what I want you to do with that information is I want you to take that information and go to your Heavenly Father and say, Lord, this is what they're saying about me. Now, God, I think they're about 85, 90% wrong. But I need to own up to the 10 or 15% that I need to own up to. God, would you help me say, why would I want to do that? That's way too painful. Because we have to get relationships right. If you don't get those right, nothing else matters. If all of life hinges on two things, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our neighbor as ourself, if all of this book hinges upon those things, don't you think we should get relationships right? Our friendships right? So you ask the question. Now, here's the rules. Here's the rules for the homework. If you break the rules, the homework is useless. Here's the rules. You got to ask the question. I don't want you to respond. I don't want you to reason. I don't want you to apologize. I don't want you to explain. I want you to open your mouth, say, what's it like to have me as a wife? What's it like to have me as a husband? What's it like to have me as a parent? What's it like? And then shut your mouth and do what Judge Judy says. Put on your listening ears. Right? Yeah. You don't have your listening ears on. Got to put on your listening ears. And just listen to what they have to say. Some of it will encourage you. Some of it will surprise you. Some of it's going to hurt your feelings. Then I want you to take that before God and say, God, this is what they're saying about me. And you know what? I got to get this right. Because if I can't get relationships right, then I can't get life right. And if I can't do life right, I'm going to be in trouble throughout my years. How many of you have ever seen old folks that have grown old and they're still in love? You see them walking, holding hands. You know, when they look, there's still that little gleam. Like, you little hot rod, you one. Isn't it so classy? Isn't it so classy? I mean, isn't that what you want to do, is just grow old with somebody? You know, sit around in your rocking chairs and trade hits on oxygen bottles or something, you know? Just like, wow, you rock, man. Amen. Yeah, getting old isn't all that it looks like. But if you can do that, let me say this to you. This is the beginning of a life change, irregardless of how young or how old you are in the atmosphere of your relationships. It'll be a life change. See, we all have this emotional and relational blind spots in our life. Because we don't know what it's like to be married to us. We don't know what it's like to work for us. We don't know what it's like to live next door to us or to be one of our kids. We don't know that until you ask the question. And the thing that I love about God is God deals with us in strength and tenderness. Go ahead and put up Psalms 62 for me. He says, one thing God has spoken, two things that I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. God, I may have not caught everything, but the couple things that I did catch is your strength and your tenderness. His strength is that he comes to Cain and he says, listen, your offering was unacceptable. God says, I'm not going to accept that. So why are you so mad? You knew that that wasn't right anyway. And this isn't about money. This is about relationships. This is about our emotions. Why are you so mad? If you just do what's right, it'll be okay. But we don't want to do what's right until they do what's right. Soon as she fixes her, then I'll fix me. Soon as he fixes him, then I'll be a good wife. Right? It's a powerful question. I think it's a painful question. God says that's not acceptable. And then out of love and out of his tenderness, he says, but if you do what's right, mister, you'd be accepted. It's going to work out. But if you don't get this right, it's going to rule over you. It's going to master everything you put your hands to. It'll destroy everything that you move into. God's strength and his tenderness is so displayed to us in Christ. See, in Christ, he looks at us and he says, I can't ignore your sin. You have all fallen short of the glory of God. I can't ignore that. The price has got to be paid. But you know what I can do for you? Is I can pay the price for your disobedience. I can do that. I can go and pay the price for your wrong conduct so you won't have to. I can't ignore it, but I can jump in and pay the cost for you. Do you know it's okay to be mad at God? Yeah. It's okay. And when I say mad at God, I think the better word would be, it's okay to be have you ever been disappointed with God? Something's happened in life that you thought, well, God, why did you allow that? You're God, and you could have stopped that, or you could have prevented this, or you could have changed that. It's okay to be disappointed with God. We've all been there. It's happened. It's visited our lives. But what's not okay is to not deal with that anger. Is to not deal with that anger. And I'm honest. Some of you just need to come before God and say, God, what's it like to be on the other side of me? I don't know what he'll say. But I know it needs to be asked. Because you know what? Even if you don't ask it, it doesn't mean the information's not there. It just means that you don't want to have to deal with it. And that means that you're going to be stuck in your relationships. Wherever it is, you may do good in a marriage from year one to year four, and then it just all goes to heck in a handbasket. And now you've repeated this time after time after time. Maybe it's something about your climate. Maybe you need a climate change on the inside. See, because if you don't ask the question, you know who's going to suffer? You are going to suffer, and all the people in your life are going to suffer. So here's the homework. I'm closing. I'm putting a lid on it right here. What's it like to be on the other side of you? I want you to go. I want you to find three people. And I want you to go before God. So a total of four. And I want you just to be in. Don't give somebody $100 and then ask them, what do you think about me? You rock. You're the bomb. You got to be intellectually honest. You got to get somebody who loves you, who knows you, who's in touch with you. Now, here's the difficult part about this. See, we think that people don't really know us. But I had a woman come last night after the service. And she says, you know, Pastor, I can't do that. I says, why is that? She says, because I don't have any friends. I says, really? Now, I know that her and her husband have been together for 55 years. And he's standing right there. You're going to get a feel of this. And I go, I'm your friend. You've been coming to this church for at least a decade now. She goes, but you don't know me. I go, I know you. Well, how could you know me? It's not like we've barbecued or went on vacations or anything. I don't have to barbecue with you to know you. She goes, really? I go, really? She goes, then tell me what I'm like. I go, okay. And I begin to list off some things. From the 10 years of knowing you, this is what I know about you, is you can be a little crusty. You can be a little hard to rub up against because you're very honest in your opinions. And that's a really good thing. And I said some other things. Then I finally came down. I looked at her and we were standing in the foyer. She's looking at me and listening to what I'm saying. I've never been to a barbecue at her house. My only interface with her is here. And I says, and you know what? You have this awesome sense of loyalty because in your younger years of a disloyalty. And she begins to weep. She just begins to cry. She goes, okay, I've had enough. I says, okay. I says, see, this is kind of how this works. We all have people in our life that can help us in this survey. Now, I would suggest that you wouldn't ask your husband or your wife on the way into the parking lot. I would let this soak for about 24 hours. Kind of let it work through, marinate a little bit. Because remember, you got to do the homework right. You got to ask the question, shut your mouth. Can't apologize, you can't rationalize, you can't explain, you can't defend. Put on your listening ears. Just remember, Judge Judy. And listen to what they got to say. And you know what? That could be the beginning of a life change in your relationship with somebody that you've lived with even for 55 years. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Now, ladies, let me just say this. Us men do not do well with relational questions. You ladies, I mean, you know, you can meet somebody for 2 minutes and go, you want to go to the bathroom? You know, you can just do that, and you know, you're all relational, and you know, you just, no, man, I love you. Love you. Us guys don't work that way. Men believe that relationships are important, but we don't know if they're urgent. What's urgent to us is deer hunting, is going for the quad ride. You know, we're heading on a trip. I got to get the thing loaded up. It's not that this is not important. It's not urgent. But let me tell you something, fellas. There'll come a time in your life when the tornado's spinning, that this becomes urgent. And I would suggest that you do this now better than later. Because the quicker that you get real information from people that love you, what's it like? See, I could ask all, what's it like to sit under my ministry? You can go, God, you're a pain in the rear, man. I'll tell you what, either, you know what, around town, either people like really like you or they hate your guts. I tell you, it's just, sometimes I don't even want to tell them where I go to church. It's just like crazy. He knew that. I know that. And I don't know what that plays out to in your life. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you. God, would you help us to build relationships that would go the distance. God, your word says we're fearfully and we're wonderfully made. God, the greatest thing that we could ever do as mankind is build a relationship with you that would bleed out into our lives with others. God, we're broken. God, every man and every woman in this building has issues. We got insecurities that will undermine our relationships time and time again. Some of us, Lord, we were born into a storm and we've never been able to get out of it. God, would you help us to build those relationships and those friendships with you and with others that would change our lives? We ask it in Jesus' name. Now look up at me. Three people got to go to and say, what's it like to be married to me? Because I've never been married to me. And then the rules are, when they tell you what they tell you, listening ears, you can't defend, you can't reject. You got to go before God and say, God, I think they're wrong. See, he can handle that. And you can put that all out. See, because perspective is everything. And for me, I'm the greatest husband in the world. I'm the greatest dad in all the planet. I'm the greatest granddad. But I'm really not the one you got to ask those things to. You got to go to your kids and to your spouse and to your neighbor. Go, am I a good neighbor? Well, you know, if you pull your weeds, you'd be better, but, you know. All right. God bless you. We'll see you. So work on that. Let it marinate. Don't ask anybody. You can't come up and ask me. Last night I had like 30 people come and ask me, okay, what am I like? So gotta go.